Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need.
This is Global Air Force, and here's your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. How long has it been since you've had peace of mind? And how long has it been since you heard teaching and preaching that really touched your heart and mind and made you want to change the way you're living and change the way you're thinking?
So, in the second part of our series,
A Blast from the Past with the dynamic Dan Mahler, in a classic message that he has preached at Christ Community Church.
If you just see the goodness of God, it's so overwhelming, you'll want to be that way. He never forgave us just so we walk around being forgiven. He forgave us so we're so overwhelmed by it, we're living, walking forgiveness. Because he made man for his image. Jesus came to seek that which was lost. That's not a drunk in the back alley. That's your identity and destiny. What was lost was your identity and destiny. Jesus came to seek that which was lost. It was your created value. It's what you looked like before the tree. He's getting sin off of you to get the Spirit of God back in you. That's why in John 20, he breathed on them after he raised from the dead and went to the Father with his blood in the mercy seat. In John 20, he breathed on them. Why? Because that's exactly how God did it in the beginning. He could have said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, receive Holy Spirit. He could have lined them up, filled, 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 filled. But no, he didn't. He breathed on them. Why? Because he's the redemption of man. He makes all things new. He brings man back to original value. He took man back to the garden before life ever was, breathed back into man through the power of his blood as if sin never happened. And he just started over. Brand new day, first day of the rest of our lives. And then he told him, now go win the world with this gospel. Go love the world is really what he told him. He said, if you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they'll be retained. Well, he never gave us permission to be in unforgiveness, did he? Who has a scripture for unforgiveness? Anybody have permission to be in unforgiveness? When do you see a man for what he's done outside of God and not who he's created to be? Anytime? Is it ever permissible? Then why is God telling his disciples if they retain sins, they're retained as if it's an option? I believe this with all my heart, that he's telling them, you're my representative. You're the body of Christ, the embodiment of Christ. You embody Christ. You're taking the baton. He's giving you the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church. He's saying, if you walk in love like I've loved you, then men will see what you've seen. But if you harden your heart and retain their sins, how will they know? Because I'm the light and it's in you. And all of a sudden we have a grid for hurt, unforgiveness, disappointment, despair, wrong school, wrong home. Remember? You'd be afraid to see the percentage of sincere born-again Christians that understand their need for a Savior that don't understand that Holy Spirit wants to change your nature and make you just like your Father. It's where you don't have to be mean, frustrated, angry, disappointed, discouraged anymore, that you can actually get so consumed with this truth that you wake up every day and think for the kingdom and think for others. Selfishness is over and love is rampant. And all of a sudden, people don't even have power over you except that you would just love them. I'm going to be real strong tonight. It's why you're a Christian. There's no other reason in the book. The whole reason we're saved is to become love. You're not saved for blessing. You're not saved for heaven. You're saved to become love. In fact, we preach Jesus the way to heaven. It's not even what the Bible teaches. He's the way back to the Father. Now we can be one with the eternal one. Of course we have everlasting life. He never dies. We never will. We're one with him. But if you just make him a ticket to heaven, a passport to heaven, we're going to miss the heart of the gospel. The gospel's all about a brand new life, a brand new nature, a brand new way of thinking and living. That's why we get water baptized. We die to everything that ever was. So the old man dies and buried in the likeness of the baptism of Jesus and his death to sin once for all, so he can reckon himself alive unto God, right? Yeah. That's why we water baptize, guys. It's not a church ordinance. It's way more. It's an expression that I'm going down to die to everything that ever was, everything that ever wasn't, everything ever said, not said. It's all done, man. I'm putting it under. You put them under. If you're a good pastor like me, you hold them down when every bubble stops. Lift them up. Then we'll see how much face in the room. We'll get new life. See, I shouldn't say that. I keep saying it, and I shouldn't. Because I was in North Pennsylvania, and this young guy in a hot tub, he came up crying. We were water baptizing, and he came up, and he said, I need to do this, man. It's time. And we're like, come on in, man. You know, you just cry. He's young. He's like, it's time to surrender, man. I just want to call it all dead. I'm done playing games with God. I said, get in here, man. When we put him under, me and Pastor couldn't get him under because he was over to the side, and hot tubs are funny inside. And we couldn't get him under, and his shoulder was out. And I didn't want him to think his shoulder was defiled or something. I wanted to make sure it was under. So, you know, people think, I didn't go all the way under. I think my shoulder's unclean, you know. Just splash some water on it. I just wanted to make sure he was under. So we had him under a little longer than normal, and he felt us push on him. And we slid and tried to push, and he started pushing back. It's a true story. He's pushing back, and I'm thinking, I don't know if that's him pushing back. Get him down. Come on. And then all this, it only took 3-4 seconds, but it was enough to make his eyes this big. And when he busted out of the water, he went, and I mean, I felt like we ruined his whole experience. I said, are you okay? I said, oh my goodness, you thought we were holding you under to the, he said, he really thought he was serious. Because when he was under there and we were pushing, he thought, oh my God, he's serious. I'm not in faith for this. He's waiting until the bubbles stop. And he started fighting back. So we let him up, and he was scared. So we had to assure him he was okay. And I said, oh my gosh. But there's a principle there. You die to live. Come on. Unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. Is alone. What a miserable place. Bah. I've learned that love is what freedom is. Freedom is love. You sing all the freedom songs you want. When you become love, you understand you're free. Because until you become love, you're in bondage to everybody around you, to what they say, what they think, how they look at you, what they feel. You can sing, holy, holy is the Lord, and you can be faithful in serving the church, but to be really free is to become love. Because your heart's no longer in the hand of anyone. You owe no man anything but to love. Just you give yourself freely. If they misunderstand you, your identities, you're in touch with your own heart. You don't need everybody to totally understand. You don't need everybody to even agree. But as much as possible with you, you make peace with all men. And you walk in peace. Come on, do you think God really just like is so separate from who we are and so different that he's just this lover and we're just these people that can't get it right? And he just says, oh, there's just something about you. And he just keeps loving. And that gets weird to us. That's what made me stop going to church, because I didn't understand why God could love me and I was such a mess. Did you ever feel that way? Like, why would he want you in heaven? Why does he even care so much to be so extreme to kill his son on the cross to get me to heaven when I knew that I wasn't worth dying for in my own heart and life? I was very conscious of sin because I grew up. All I heard was Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. He died on the cross because I'm a sinner. He died. So, man, I am a sinner. I never understood that he died because I was a lost son. He died to expose my value, not my sin. He removed my sin to get my value on the surface. He died to reinstate a destiny, to restore an identity. Come on, that's why he got beat beyond description. Isaiah 52 says he was marred more than any of the sons of men. No one ever looked worse at the hands of men than Jesus ever. The Bible says marred more than any of the sons of men. That means the worst whooping they put on a man, Jesus was worse. Why did it have to be so brutal? See, this stuff speaks to me. It's not just theology. It's not just history. Come on, they really beat him. Till you couldn't tell who he was. Why didn't they just whack him with those cat of nine tails 39 times and leave it at that? Why'd they keep hitting him on the head with those rods? And why'd they keep doing what they did to him? Do you see the movie The Passion? It's pretty gruesome. And it wasn't, I don't think it was even close to what he looked like. Why? Why so seemingly sadistic, barbaric? Because everything Jesus did, man, the love of God, you guys know it's all a parallel, right? He was separated so we could be ever joined, forever joined. He died so we could forever live, right? There's a parallel. We could teach all that. I think it's my favorite. You don't have to have one. He got beat beyond description. Why? Because when sin got done with man, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. What was love became self-centered and self-serving. When sin got done with Adam in the garden, when it was finished, with Adam in the garden. He didn't just sin, he took on the nature of God's enemy. When sin got done with Adam, he didn't look anything like he was created to look. So Jesus came, lost his appearance to pay the price to get our identity back so we could look like sons and daughters again. That isn't just claim heaven and a place in the Lamb's Book of Life and at the table of the Lamb's marriage feast. That's awesome. I'm not mad at the Book of Life. I'm glad we're in there. But that's not why I'm a Christian. And if that's why you're a Christian, then life's going to be really tough. I'm Christian to be like my dad. I preach this everywhere I go. I say mercy woke us up today to give us one more day to be like our dad. That's why you're alive. You're not just alive for blessings. I understand stuff comes. Sickness tries to hit. Cancer shows up in people's lives. Man, I'm done just making it a big rat race of detective work and why and how and come on, Jesus' love can smote that stuff. He's just way bigger. It's the questions that get confusing. Who's ever been confused by the questions? And then all of a sudden you don't even have intimacy because you don't even know where you stand because am I even right? Why is this happening? And all of a sudden this becomes who you are, the thing you're experiencing, instead of who he is in you. And all of a sudden what you're going through becomes your identity instead of what he went through. Did you ever notice how that happens? Did you ever notice that? Does anybody relate to that? I want that to stop in our lives. I want that to stop. I haven't gone through a lot of sickness in my life. I've been very blessed. I went through a few witchcraft things years ago. And it taught me a lot. And I wouldn't change it for nothing. Help put what you see in me in me. Because every time the devil touches you, you do know this, right? He's trying to break you. He's trying to expose what you do and don't believe and see and understand. But every time he takes a touch to break you, he runs a risk of making you. And if you don't lose sight of that, you don't really have a problem, do you? So it's like, well, the devil, he fears Jesus, church. He's so afraid of the word becoming alive in us. He is so afraid of you becoming love and looking through the eyes of truth. No wonder he's poking and prodding every which way he can to keep you distracted, because he's so freaked out of the potential of the finished work of Christ in humanity. He is so afraid. Years ago, I saw a demon-possessed woman on the floor going like this at the ceiling. It was the most crazy look of terror I've ever seen on a human being's face. And Holy Spirit said, the spirit that's bound this woman her whole life is beholding the face of the Son of God. I cried for 3 days. 3 days. See, you weren't standing there. I was. That thing was horrified. Afraid of Jesus, and that Jesus lives in me, and he lives in you. Come on, come on. She's laying there. She's raised in a demonic thing from birth. She's trained in a demonic thing from birth. She doesn't even really have a choice. She was just kind of in place. But she heard me preach on the love of God and found herself in a service and came up and wanted Jesus. And Jesus came. I got this, do you ever get a vision? I got this little mini vision of Jesus. He was as big, now he's a lot bigger, but he was as big as the ceiling of the church we were in, and he was standing over the girl like this. And I just saw him for a half a second, and it disappeared, but he let me see him. Standing there like this, and the Spirit's going, powerless, freaked out and afraid, and I'm thinking, my days of fear are over. No, wait, you don't get it. He does not. He's a cut-off withering branch. He does not need a stage to perform on. He is afraid of the gospel. He is just sure that you won't really believe it. You'll sing about it. You'll read up on it. But when it comes to believing it and receiving God's love and communing with God, when nobody's looking, driving in your car and understanding you're worthy of His presence. See, Satan's, he's just set on you not having that reality in your life. And he'll have you in all the right places and all the right settings, singing all the right stuff, and deep down in your heart wondering where the reality of God is. That's what he's set on right there, keeping it from being real to you and relational. See, I'm way gone. Seriously, no one. You could get up and curse me tonight and leave. Don't. That wouldn't be cool. For your sake, really, don't. And if you throw things, throw the word. I'd rather get hit by the word than rotten peach or something. But here's the deal. No matter what anybody says to you, how they misunderstand, how angry they are, you know, people have come from some strange places, and you're not there to fight and contest. Well, I don't care. I know the Lord. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you lay on your bed at night, no matter what anybody doesn't understand, you can know Him. And no one, no one can take His peace from you, His presence from you, His voice from you. Oh my goodness. No one can keep you from knowing Him. And the just shall live by. Whoa. Then why are we driven by so many feelings? Let's not do it, church. Say tonight, never again, man. I am going to live by truth. Because truth, if I continue in it, will make me free. We've catered to our feelings. We even give place for it. I am not a sensual guy, even though you can tell I'm loaded with feelings. But they're all channeled through truth. My heart wouldn't be this alive if I didn't see what I saw. It's all channeled through truth. Every day of my life, waking up alive. Do you think in the last 18 years everything went the way I would order it? But I found something beautiful. All along the way, He's the same. And He never stops being amazing and loving me and empowering me and teaching me the way in the face of it all. He shows me what love looks like in injustice. He shows me what love looks like in witchcraft. He shows me what love looks like all the time. And I've learned that's why I'm alive. And I'm here to tell you that's why you're alive. So I just cheered you on a little. I'm going to do about 20 minutes of something quick. We're going to pray for the sick. Is that cool? At least that's my plan. The people that know me say there ain't no way. It's only 25 and on. But I'm going to do my best. But listen, I just gave you that little heart cry thing because I know there's stuff in the room, man, and sickness isn't fun. Come on, you got pain every day in your body. That's not cool. But just crying out scripture. I don't teach, and I'm not against people. I'm not trying to bash teaching. I don't just teach just quoting scripture. I teach communion with Him, fellowship with Him, believing He loves you. If a week of pain turns into 6 weeks of pain, and you've been prayed for 4 times by people you call anointed, and you don't have a strong relationship with God's love, you're in a quandary. Did that ever happen to anybody where you were prayed for and didn't see it change? Come on, we're all growing. We're growing. But the bottom line is Jesus said, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do. And as the Father sent me, I send you. So we're going after Jesus. My mom passed 2 days after Christmas. That does not change the gospel. When I open this Bible, it says the same thing it's always said. And I'm going to go after it. Do you get it? And there was a night when I was preaching that, and I said, because I won't turn and run, because I won't take it personal. That's my mother. Nope, unless you love less all these things dear to you, less than him, you'll by no means be his disciple. Why? One of those things will get in the way. God never gave you the gift of a spouse, the gift of children, at the cost of who he is. He never gave you those things to covet those things and put him in jeopardy. As dear as our children is, he said, unless you love them less, you'll no way walk this thing out. You'll actually be set up for those things to be targets in your life and put you in a quandary. So all of a sudden, I covet my mother above the gospel. Now I have to align the gospel to the death of my mother to make my conscience and soul feel a little better at the cost of truth, which makes me free. No, we're in a war. And we're going to keep contending. So one night I was preaching and how I won't change my mind. And I said, and because I won't change my mind, somebody else's mother's going to get rocked and healed. And the very night somebody got touched with the same disease. Isn't that awesome? Now, I could have just been a hurting preacher that didn't understand and could have calmed down my message a little. Because I could have let my mom's natural circumstance define my interpretation of truth when Jesus' life already did. See, I'm not looking to define God along the way. Jesus already came out like God is. When you see the Father or the Son, you've already seen the Father. He's the visible image of an invisible God. So God's not to be defined through life. He's defined through his Son. You can't say, well, Bob lived and Bill died. Bob heals some and doesn't heal all. Jesus didn't declare that. It's not in his word. He declared the Father to us. And he did not declare that. Human reasoning declares that. That homeschool thing just says, let me see here. And the way that seems right to man kicks into gear and it never produces life. You follow me? So where's the higher integrity? Throwing away all those questions that contradict truth and question the character of God and disappoint my heart. Or just press on and believe who he is even when my mother passes. And worship him the same that when I did my mother's graveside, by the way, I just blew a trumpet. Because my mother was amazing. Because she had more tubes and things hanging. I changed my mother's pads for years because she didn't have control of her bowels. My own mother, I travel the country, preach, I've seen people healed. And then I got to change my mother's pads. If you don't have a strong relationship with Jesus, you don't function well. You see why I talk so aggressive? I'm not popping off. I understand what I'm saying. I watched her on a feed tube for years. I watched her not be able to walk for about 15. That's my mother. Don't think that I'm popping off and just being a hotshot preacher. I could tell you other stories. Nothing changes the gospel. The gospel changes all things. Most of all, the gospel changes us. Are you following me? For years, carrying her to bed when my dad couldn't and tucking her in. But here's the thing about my mother that was so precious as a believer. And she believed it was the will of God to heal her. She'd confess, by his stripes I'm healed, and do all the stuff we Christians do. But she understood something special, and it taught me a lot. I never saw her complain one time. And I never saw her dread life. And I never saw her disposition down. When I'd walk in the room, she'd say, well, hi. And I'd say, how are you, Mama? She'd say, well, I'm fine. Why? Because she was. Because she knew something inside. And she knew there was a way bigger picture than what she was laying there in. And she knew in Jesus she already won. She knew it, guys. She already won. Now, is that throwing away healing? No. Go for it, man. We go for it. But I never even cried when my mother passed. But I pulled up to the cemetery and cried because there was two rows of cars from the bottom to the top for a woman that hadn't left the house for years. Two rows of cars. Got up there, and when I started looking around her face, there was nursing staff standing there. There was three different doctors touched by a woman's life. Because to them, she was extraordinary. She was a rare patient. She was different than all the rest. And she was an enigma and a quandary to them because she was so pleasant, so sweet. She'd make things easy for them and apologize if she didn't get in the right position. And everybody loved her. You couldn't not love her. That's what Jesus is supposed to do to folks. He just couldn't not love her. So when she passed, there's two rows of cars parked to the top of the hill to give honor and memory to her life. And man, Pastor, I blew a trumpet at the graveside, buddy. I was a... Two of the three doctors hugged me with tears in their eyes and said, "Now I understand. You've really shed light on what made your mother so extremely different." Because they saw the Christian books. They saw all that stuff. They see it all the time. They see Christians all the time saying all the right things in despair and worry and fear and crying. And then they watch the thing not happen. And they just think we're leaning on something to give us emotional support. When my wife was on life support and the doctor called me to do a spinal tap and then do something else because they said she could die and she's in brain damage and stuff. And I said, "Listen, I'm just going, thanks for everything you're doing." I told him, "Now's not the time for a medical education for me. That's why you went to school, man. I don't need to know all those terms. You do whatever you need to do to help her. That's awesome. And I honor you. I appreciate what you do for people." And I said, "I'm going to come in and do what I've been equipped for and trained for." And he said, "What is that?" My son was standing right in the kitchen because he said, "Dad, what's going on?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to lay hands on her and I'm going to pray and release the kingdom over her and believe God." And he said, "Well, I appreciate that, sir, but I have to face the reality of this situation." And I said, "You missed everything I said. You didn't hear it, but it's not your fault. It's because you've seen countless people cry in despair and quote everything they're taught to, but they've already become this thing." And I said, "I'm not going to do that, doctor. I'm going to come in and lay hands on her in Jesus' name. It'll be fun." An hour and a half after we prayed, she opened her eyes. They ran an EEG. She had no brain damage. In the morning, I went in to see her. And that's okay. In the morning, I went in to see her, and she was off all her life support. I had no knowledge of why she was even in there. And they watched her. She was in there for days, for a while. She was in there till they could leave her go because it was extreme. Jesus is amazing. I'm not being mean with you guys. I'm challenging you on the inside. Hopefully you're hearing me clear. If Jesus said, "Don't fear, don't worry, put off anger, don't complain, in nothing, be anxious for nothing, in everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving," if he said, "Do all things without grumbling and complaining, do not fear, do not worry, it must be possible."
That was wonderful. Praise God. I hope today that it's inspired you, encouraged you. As believers, we should not be down in the doldrums, fretting, worried, wringing our hands. We should be praising God, even in the midst of all the things that we're facing every day. Thank you once again, Dan Mahler.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.